Title of today's message is, Who Do You Say I Am? In Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20, and we're just going to read verse 18 to start with here. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying with his disciples, were with him, and he asked them, saying, Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Well, first of all, let's take a minute and let's see who the world says he is today. Just checking a few things that I've heard of just recently, some of the way the world looks today, not only at Jesus, but at God in general. And there's a gentleman, and I use the word term sometimes a little loosely there, a man by the name of Kanye West, who titled a song recently, I Am God. And I've read some other things that he has said, that he thinks he's the Messiah that's come to deliver us from some of our problems. I didn't follow up on it very much. Just this past few days, actor Morgan Freeman purportedly stated that God and the devil are one, that they're not the same, but they share the same body. Singer Katy Perry, who is the daughter of two pastors, but she recently stated she no longer believes in God, but she does believe in aliens. And just, you know, the list could go on and on as to what the world says, who God is or whatever, who Jesus is. And of course, there's a lot of things that have been done recently that have been extremely blasphemous as far as God is concerned. My understanding, and I don't watch the Grammys and that kind of stuff, but I understand at least one Christian singer who was there got up and walked out because of some of the stuff that was going on stage and said, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to put up with this, basically. And it's time we as the world take a stand, but unfortunately, we as Christians still continue to support some of this stuff that the world does that is blasphemous to God. We need to think about that. Well, the list could go on, as I said, but let's go back to what Jesus was asking his disciples. And they answered and said, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and some say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, well, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, and this is a statement that the foundational truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter answered and said, that Christ of God, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And that's who Jesus is. Let's look around to see what the people had to see in that day that Jesus is asking about. Put a little things in perspective there. Because verse 18 says, he was alone praying with his disciples, and they were with him. But what had recently happened, working backwards, and just going on and hitting some of the points of things that had happened. A blind man had been healed in Mark 8, 22 through 26. 4,000 had been fed in Matthew 15, 32 through 38, and Mark 8, 1 through 9. Many other miracles were performed in Matthew 15, 29 through 31. Jesus walked on the sea in Matthew 14, 22 through 33, Mark 6, 45 through 52, and John 6, 16 through 21. And then 5,000 were fed in Matthew 14, 15 through 21, Mark 6, 35 through 44, Luke 9, 12 through 17, and John 6, 5 through 14. I've mentioned that because we not only had 5,000 fed, but we later on had 4,000 fed, and there's scripture to back it up, and it's more than in one place. Jesus had been accomplishing things. Miracles had been happening. Things were taking place. This was just a few things that had just happened, and this is just in the last several months of his earthly ministry that these things had taken place. More things, of course, than that had happened. Well, let's see what Jesus had to say about himself. And the world wants to throw this up to us sometimes. Well, if you were really being like Jesus, you'd be all love, peace, and happiness and all this stuff, and giving all that you've got to everybody and bowing down and being the doormat for the world. Well, I'm sorry, they're not reading about the Jesus of the Bible. Because the Jesus of the Bible said in Matthew 10, 34 through 37, "Think not that I am come to send peace into the earth, but the sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's enemies shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." I'll tell you what, Jesus, if you read about the Jesus of the Bible, you read that he went into the temple and he overturned the tables and threw out the money changers. Jesus got a little upset a few times, and it's time that we take a stand. Jesus took a stand because of what was going on in the house of God. He said, "These things do not belong in my Father's house." And we look around today in the church, and there's a lot of things that are going on in the Father's house today that don't belong in the Father's house. But we condone them, and we endorse them, and we let them go on and on and on. Man, think about that. I'm not come to bring peace. There is a day that he will come and bring peace, but it's not yet. Well, he also went on to say that he's the bread of life. In Mark 14, 61 through 63, he said, "But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou that Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said unto him, I am he. And you shall see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power of God." I guess I got that one out of order. John 6:35. Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." I am the bread. I am the one that will feed you. I am the one that is going to take care of you if you'll only come unto me. And I'll tell you, we need to come unto Jesus today and put our faith, our trust, our hope, our everything in him. Too much today, I think we put our hope, our faith, our trust in everything but Jesus. Oh, I can take care of this. You just sit over there, Jesus. I'll take care of this situation. It's okay. I can handle this. No wonder we get stomped down and beat up so much anymore. Because we don't want Jesus to help us. We need to say, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, I need your help." But we've got this attitude that we're bigger than he is sometimes. He also went on to say, "I am the light of the world." John 8:12, and he spake Jesus unto them, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have that light of life." I am the light. He is the light. When we come unto the light, we come unto the truth. We come unto those things that are being shown unto us that are of truth. But in the darkness hides all the things of evil. We need to come out of the darkness into the light. Praise the Lord. He's the light. Jesus said that he was before Abraham. And oh, I'll tell you, this threw him into a tizzy back then, because he said in John chapter 8, verse 58, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I was." Boy, I'll tell you, if you read that story there in that chapter, they got in a hissy fit there. They were ready to do him in, because he's saying he was before Abraham. Well, he was. Jesus has been there all along. He's been there since the beginning. He is there. He said, "I'm the door." He is the door. And the world today doesn't want to recognize that. Some churches don't want to recognize today that he is the door. Oh yeah, he's a door, but not the door. Jesus says, "I am that door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." He says, "I am the way," John 14:6, "and Jesus said unto them, I am the way and that truth and that life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if any church preaches anything other than that, they're preaching a false doctrine. They're preaching a false gospel. They're preaching a false religion. They are going against God. Run! And if somebody's listening to me outside the walls of this building and your church is preaching that there's other ways to heaven than through Jesus Christ, you better pack your bags, get up and take off, because you're going to be on the wrong direction. Jesus said, I am the way, there is no other way. And there's some big name preachers out there right now that are promoting some of that doctrine. Oh, well, there's other ways. There's other ways. Or they're taking big bucks from somebody who's promoting that. And I'm not going to name any names this morning, but most of you probably know who I'm talking about anyway. But one of them just recently took a huge donation from somebody that has taught and said and espoused that there's multiple ways to God. Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. He is it. If you're following some other direction, you're going the wrong way. Turn around and follow Jesus. Who did John the Baptist say he was? Remember, some folks thought that John the Baptist was going to be the Messiah. They come and ask him even. And he told them, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one you're looking for. But here's what he had to say. He said in John chapter 3, verse 28, ye yourselves are my witness that I said, I am not that Christ, but that I am sent before him. I am the one that has come to announce his coming. I'm the one that's come to show the way. I am the one that has come before, but he's coming after me. And if you remember when Jesus came down to River Jordan and John baptized him in water, John said to him first, no, you need to baptize me instead of me baptizing you, because you are the one. Who did Pilate say he was? You know, let's talk about Pilate a minute here. Here's a guy that has been sent by the Roman emperor, or at least one of the Roman emperor's underlings there, to fill a post that I think in that day nobody particularly wanted to go fill. He probably would much rather have been somewhere else. And he finds himself caught up in all this mess that's going on around there, kind of caught in the middle. But he did have enough gumption to stand his ground on a few things. Because you see, you recall when Jesus was brought before Pilate and he questioned him. And Jesus sometimes replied back to him kind of a little bit, probably not the way Pilate was expecting, because Pilate asked him a question and he says, you say that I am. Well, here's what it says in John chapter 19, verses 19 through 22. Because you remember, Pilate finally had washed his hands and said, okay, you guys do whatever you want to do. Washing his hands, signifying that the blood of Jesus wasn't on him, it was on them. And now, crucifixion has come. And it says, and Pilate also wrote also a title and put it on the cross and was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And said the high priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered and said, what I have written, I have written. Let it stand. I have put it up there. He is the King of the Jews. Who did God say Jesus was? And I'm speaking God the Father now. Who did he say he was at his baptism? says in Mark 1:11, then there was a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You don't get any better recommendation than that. Then again in Matthew 17:5, when they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are there also with them appearing. And it says, While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud shadowed them. And behold, there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. God is saying twice here, This is my beloved Son. Pay attention to what he has to say. But are we paying attention? Are we paying attention today? Are we chasing other things? You know, sometimes there's a term that gets used in preaching sometimes when you're preaching on a subject and you get sidetracked and you take off down another avenue there, and they call it chasing a rabbit trail. And sometimes the church seems to be that way. Instead of following Jesus, we get on a rabbit trail and take off down another direction. Sometimes following a different path. We think we're on the right way, but we're headed down the wrong way. Who is Jesus? A lot of people today, well, he was a great prophet. You know, Christianity is not the only religion that talks about Jesus. You know that? Several other religions talk about Jesus. They recognize him. Islam talks about Jesus. They'll tell you he was a prophet, not the Son of God, because God has no son. Contrary to what the Word of God says, but then they don't believe it either. So Islam says Jesus was a great prophet. In fact, they actually say that when their Messiah, the Mahdi, comes, that Jesus will come with him and be subservient to him. Bahá'í faith. A lot of people may not know what the Bahá'í faith is, but it's kind of a combination of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and maybe a few other little things sprinkled in there. They talk about Jesus. He was a great prophet. But again, he was not the Son of God. And you go on, and you can find other religions that will mention him. Some of the other religions out there, they've got no problem with Jesus as long as he was just a great man who lived about 2,000 years ago and he spoke some great truths and all that, but that's all he was. And that's kind of who the majority of the world says he is. And yet we live in what is supposed to be Christian America, and we have kind of gone a lot along with what they have to say, because we have dethroned Jesus and we're putting somebody else on the throne. I dare say today is Super Bowl Sunday, one of my least favorite Sundays of the year. If the Super Bowl were being played right now in this time zone, I would almost guarantee you that most churches would be pretty empty, because that would come before God. And we have got to that point that we let so many other things stand between us and God. I belong to a Facebook group that reminisces about the good old days in the Assemblies of God. And some of the things that took place back then. And I remember when my wife and I were dating, I would dare say we probably had less than a dozen dates that didn't involve something to do with going to church in the entire time we dated. When we got married, we went to church probably at least 6 nights a week. That was our life. And there were a lot of people back then, that was their life. And today we look and say, oh man, that's all the life you had. I'll tell you, we were blessed. We were enjoying the blessings of God. And we were enjoying witnessing and experiencing the move of God in our life. And today, some churches are lucky if they can get a handful of people on Sunday morning. Oh, there'll be some that are full tonight, even, because they'll be having on big screen TVs the Super Bowl and people will go to see it. And then they'll be back next year for the Super Bowl. You know, it's become the new Easter, I guess, for some places. Who do we say Jesus is? Think about it. Even us here, have we begin to relegate him slightly down on the scale and begin to put other things of more importance in our life? Or is Jesus still number one in our life? That's the way it needs to be. He needs to be number one. And today, there are people who are going to be yelling at that football game for either side, one or the other, that they're number one. On the one side, they'll be yelling they're number one. On the other side, they're going to be yelling that they're number one. But we as Christians, we need to be saying that Jesus is number one in our lives. He needs to be, he must be number one in our life. Who do we say he is? Are we sometimes like Peter, who at the garden, just having earlier spoken and said, I'll be with you to the bitter end. They'll not take you over my dead body, basically. At the garden, he grabs a sword, cuts a man's ear off, and yet hours later, as he's warming his hands around the fire, a little servant girl comes up and said, I think you're one of his disciples. Not me! You're thinking of somebody else. Go on your way. Somebody else comes along, makes the same accusation, and again he denies, and he denied three times. But you know what? Peter had the sense to wise up and realize what he had done and ask for forgiveness. And I know that sometimes we as Christians, we are still human beings. We still live in a fleshly body. We still get tempted. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we yield to temptation. But when that happens, we need to pick ourselves up and say, Jesus, forgive me and help me to never do this again. Be with me. Cleanse me of this thing. That's who we need to do. But a lot of people, unfortunately, figure, well, I got away with it once, I can get away with it again, and so on and so on and so on, until they find out they're completely out the door. Jesus needs to be number one in our life. And if he's not number one in our life, we are in big trouble. Did you hear me? We're in big trouble if he's not number one in our life. Who do you say Jesus is? Father, today I pray that you would speak to hearts. And Father, those that may be listening over the internet or by other means, Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts. Father, some need to get their spiritual condition right with you. They need to realize that Jesus must be number one in their life. And I pray that you touch those lives today. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.